Stand by. Your Steve Jones Show audio is loading now. SteveJonesShow.com podcasts are sponsored by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, the beverage supermarket.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Even I knew they were in the game with ACC last year.
I know. I got confused.
You texted Tim and told him, didn't you?
I did. I manned up. As soon as I said it, I knew I was wrong, and I'm like, well, Steve, I thought Tim would get a kick out of this.
I remember you complained about driving.
Yes, I did. And we still got stuck in traffic on the way, if you remember.
Yeah, she still got stuck in traffic, and then I had to listen to it, and it took valuable time out of my life listening. And you know, no, I'm just kidding. You feel like a tortured soul, don't you? But you're so angry about the Steeler drafting, you can't see the forest from the trees.
No, a draft pick doesn't make sense.
If it affects a team's ability to get in the playoffs, yes, it does.
No, if you want to give them 4 points, if it gets down to, what is it, tiebreaker number five, if you want to give them 4 points in the points four and give the Steelers 4 more points in points against, fine. Mm-hmm. If that makes everybody happy. Mm-hmm. But a draft pick is stupid, period.
No, not if it affects playoff spot.
No, it doesn't. You know what? That can't affect a playoff spot. That's not even fair punishment if you're the Ravens. If you're the Ravens
first
and you
all,
get bounced out of the playoffs because
all,
of this.
First of all, it's the fifth tiebreaker.
Agreed.
So the road to get there is a long, windy one.
Yes.
Okay?
Right.
All right? That's why it's not going to happen. But if the long, windy road does get there, they should be docked a draft pick.
No, it shouldn't be a draft pick. I'm sorry. I don't understand how that's balanced.
It's balanced because they got bounced out of the playoffs on something that was wrong.
Okay.
I mean,
two things to keep. Let's keep two things in mind. And you can tell me why I'm wrong. Lord knows you will.
Steeler fan.
Who won the game?
Baltimore won the game.
Who got the W?
Baltimore
got the W. That's right.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Now, if it goes down to tiebreaker five, which is points mm-hmm. four, points against in some weird scenario,
mm-hmm.
all right, and the difference mm-hmm. is more than 4 points, it doesn't matter.
I'm just telling you that if it gets to that point and it swings one way or the other, if it has an effect on it.
Here's what I'm saying. If let's say it's 200 to 196 and the difference is 4 points. Okay?
Look,
between the Ravens going and the Steelers going, if you want to give them those 4 points, if you want to give them those 4 points and give the Steelers 4 more points in points against, I'm fine with that. But don't let it sit there. Let the Steelers go to the playoffs and the Ravens sit at home and then take a draft pick. That just seems like the wrong answer to solve the problem.
Yeah, it is the right answer because the Ravens would not be in the playoffs. That's the problem. Okay? You got to go by what the numbers are at that moment. The problem is they would be out of the playoffs. And here's the other problem that you have, Kev. He was on the field. Like, he wasn't in the white area. He was on the field.
I know.
He wasn't out of the coach's box.
Right. Yes.
Okay? He wasn't out of the, it wasn't that he was just strolling on the border and he got a little distracted and went, oh, geez, he's awfully close. He was physically on the field. Okay? He's on the field.
But what I'm saying, Steve, is if those 4 points make a difference between the Ravens going or the Steelers going, give them the stinking 4 points and let the Ravens go, because that's a fair punishment then.
No, but this doesn't have anything to do with whether it's the Ravens or the Steelers. What if it's the Ravens and the Bengals? See, this is what you've got to understand. The Steelers, whether they're in the scenario or not, is irrelevant. It has to do whether or not those 4 points meant something to the Ravens getting in. It has nothing to do with the Steelers getting in. Zero. And has everything to do with whether the Ravens get in or not.
See, now I didn't look at it from the fact of another team being in the hunt.
Okay? The Steelers are far out of the hunt. Okay? Right now, there are too many tiebreakers that they lose to teams right now. But the Ravens are not. And the Ravens, those 4 points, the whole thing is about whether they get in or not, and they need the tiebreaker to do it. And if they lose the tiebreaker to somebody else, they're out. The Steelers should be docked a draft pick at that point.
I might have to agree with you at that particular scenario, yes.
It has nothing to do with whether it's the Ravens or the Steelers. I didn't even think about the Ravens-Steelers about being head-to-head in this thing until you just said that. I was thinking the entire time about the Ravens against everybody else.
See, it was funny because that's the only way I was thinking about it was the Ravens and Steelers.
Right.
I do understand your point of view. Now, I still...
Now there's only one spot.
Part, but okay. Yeah,
there's only one spot available because we know Kansas City's in.
Yes.
Okay. Kansas City, in all likelihood, they could have a monumental collapse. They haven't exactly been, soaring down the stretch. And the Thursday night game between Denver and San Diego next week is a really good Thursday night game.
But the Chargers at 5-7 are in the same boat the Steelers and Titans really are in, and the Jets for that matter. They need some help along the way from Miami and Baltimore.
Has San Diego? Now, they didn't play Pittsburgh, right?
Not that I recall.
But they beat Kansas City. Okay. So they've got a couple things that, first of all, the Chargers have played pretty well in some spots. They're 5-7. They could end up 9-7.
All right, let's see the San Diego Superchargers schedule here. Give me a second.
I think they beat Philadelphia, right? That was in Philadelphia. They beat Kansas City.
The Chargers,
I'm just doing this off the top of my head.
The Chargers' wins were over Philadelphia. They beat the Cowboys. They beat the Colts and the Jags. And they also beat the Chiefs.
Man, all their wins are really good. Except for Jacksonville, and Jacksonville's won 4 of its last 5.
They have the Giants, Broncos, Raiders, and Chiefs again. Yet
okay, they have what? They have the Giants, Broncos, Raiders, and Chiefs.
Yes.
Well, those are all winnable games.
The Broncos game might not be as winnable.
Well, really, where's it being played? Denver.
Yes.
Yeah, and Mr. Magic Love is going to be throwing the football.
Yeah, I've heard this too. I don't know. I know where you're going with this. I've heard this.
How
Manning
how
doesn't
well?
Throw well in cold weather
because he wears that stupid glove. I don't get what the heck's he wearing a glove for.
What if he takes the glove off? What if he takes the glove off and rips everybody apart? Can we end this discussion about the glove?
Yeah, but you have to throw a ball differently with a glove than you do with your hand.
I wonder if somebody did a setup with Peyton Manning's record wearing a glove and not wearing a glove.
Well, the Colts outdoors haven't been all that great in the playoffs, have they? Let's go to New England. Watch it swirl. Watch it lose. Correct? Now, they did win in bad weather in the Super Bowl. When they beat the Bears, it poured. But it was warm. He didn't wear a glove that game. I was really surprised. That's the one part of this whole thing. I agree with him picking Denver because I thought that was his best shot to win the Super Bowl. Remember we went through this?
Yep.
And I said he'll pick Denver. It's his best shot to win. The one part that kind of bothered me was that he's never been a good cold weather quarterback.
In two games this year wearing the glove, he is 2-0 with 6 touchdowns and a pick.
Yeah, but what's his percentage? What's his? Well, first of all, he played it in New England with the darn thing. He got crushed.
Manning has never won a playoff game where the temperature at kickoff is below 40.
Including at home last year.
If I look at this correctly, one touchdown, seven picks with a 46.2 passer rating in, New England, two games against New England, at New England, and a game against the Jets.
And a game against Baltimore.
Well, this was factored in before all that.
Well, he lost that one too, Kev.
I said the numbers that I'm looking at, the only ones I could find were factored in before.
Oh, okay. Okay, because they lost last year, too.
Yes, and I understand.
And remember, Trendon Holiday ran back two kicks for touchdowns in that game. That's how Denver was in a position to even win the game, because of Holiday running back kicks. Manning didn't play that well that day. I remember watching the game. I remember exactly what I was watching it, too. I was watching it at Scotty's Brew Pub in West Lafayette with Dave Baker, Jeff Tarman, and Dick. It's the best we could do. We were there to do the Purdue basketball game the next day. Oh.
I have never seen more talk about a glove since Michael Jackson.
Yeah, but you know what? The difference between Michael Jackson's glove and Peyton Manning's glove is that there isn't money in Las Vegas riding on it. Okay? Seriously.
One's
there's no money.
The other's sparkly.
Yeah, but there's, you got to remember, part of this is the money exchange that goes on that happens. Like, let's be real here. I've never in my life gambled a dime. I think one time in my life, I put a quarter in a slot machine. Once. So I'm not a gambler. But let's be realistic here.
Okay.
That's why last year, I mean, what do you think drove them to end the lockout of the officials last year? Because that one play in Seattle between the Packers and the Seahawks at the end of the game, millions of dollars changed hands on the one play, the one call.
Okay, here's the most updated statistic, Steve. You ready for this? Manning is 3-7 in the regular season and postseason combined when the game time temperature is 32 degrees or colder. He's thrown for 11 touchdown passes and 12 picks in those games. Has a completion percentage of 59.4.
Mm-hmm.
His career average is 65.
Mm-hmm.
His 214 passing yards a game in those 10 outings are also below the career average of 269.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I watch him, and he seems more comfortable in the Papa John commercials. That's because they're near an oven and it's warm.
If there is an issue, all right? That was pretty good.
You like that? Yeah. Thank you very much, America. Right now, the Mannings hate me.
Please tip your wages.
And I think he's one of the top five quarterbacks in the history of the game, okay? I'm just saying, it doesn't seem well. You know, to his credit, against Kansas City last week, he wore the glove, and in the end, he got off to a slow start, and it looked great. So I don't know. He knows better than I do. He puts more research in than I do on everything. So I don't know.
I do agree with the theory, and I've never been a quarterback, but it seems to be common sense that if you're wearing a glove, you don't get as good of a feel of the ball as if you weren't.
You have no feel of the ball. Plus those gloves. Have you ever worn one of those gloves?
What, a fitted glove? No, I've never found a glove that fits as well as they do in the.
But I mean, just any glove. I mean, I'm talking about any Nike to any Nike.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
How on God's green earth you drop a ball is beyond me. It's the natural stickum on the glove is remarkable.
That's very true.
Remarkable.
And then if it's a rainy day, it makes it even better to try and catch the ball because those gloves get even more tacky.
Now let me point out the impact of that too. From the time he put gloves on to the end of the season, not even in practice did Zach Swinak fumble the ball.
That's interesting.
He was very reluctant when he went into the spider that day. He went in, he goes, okay, spider, give me a pair. I got to give in. He didn't fumble the ball once in practice and didn't fumble the ball once in the game after he put the gloves on.
85 degrees, give me the gloves.
Just telling you. But even in 85-degree weather, Kev, they all wear gloves. Every receiver wears gloves, whether it's 95 or 5 below. And the reason is because it's almost like it's like throwing the ball to a magnet. It really is amazing. And if you've ever worn a pair of those, like you'd clap them together, you're like, whoa.
The thing that was running in my hand was, or running in my head was, the replacements. Where they put all the stick on the receiver's hands, and he claps the hands, and he couldn't get them apart.
He got the cup on there. Yes, I remember that. You know, and then he caught the game winning touchdown pass, and he with the spike, and he couldn't let go of it. All right. Temple drops 7 sports today. Robert Morris also drops sports. We'll talk about that in a moment as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Well, 14 sports eliminated in the state in the last 2 days. A total of 2 schools, 7 at Temple, 7 at Robert Morris. It's the way the economics now are today. And I hate talking money. I don't like doing it. Kevin thinks I love talking about money on the show. You know, but one of the reasons that, for example, we have Tony Knapp on once a month is to talk about the business of sports, because I think it's an interesting topic, but I also think at the same time it gives people perspective on how it works. And in college, how it works is football and men's basketball. It doesn't work any other way. It's just how it works. I will give you an example. Football and men's basketball, they have the TV and radio contracts. The Learfield contract is not a small contract, by the way, on a per-year basis. There's also CBS, ESPN, Fox, BTN. They're paying money out for football and men's basketball. That's what they pay for. For example, I think Sunday is a great event in the Jordan Center. They've sold it out for wrestling. What's the assumption, Kev, about the fact that wrestling sells out Rec Hall and they sold out the Jordan Center? What's the assumption about wrestling?
That they're making a ton of money.
And they're losing about 7 figures a year. Tickets are a nominal fee. There's no TV or radio money. It's the way it is. Doesn't mean it's not a great sport. It is a great sport. But that's where you need to have your football and men's basketball step up for you. I mean, you know, you can complain about, well, you know, not enough people in the Jordan Center for a men's basketball game as opposed to wrestling. Yet in the figures released by the Department of Education ending June 30th of this year, men's basketball at Penn State University made $5.2 million, all of which, of course, went back into the pool to help pay for everything else. You know, Penn State's been earning units in men's basketball that has still 4 more years to go on it from their last NCAA tournament appearance. Home and away money is pooled. And what I'll do is I'll give you some of the numbers for you after we talk to Ben Kaiser coming up in a few moments. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Internal NFL experts?
That's what he says.
Who might that be?
I think Rob Center, Allie Stevens. I'm not sure if Sarah Bartlett's on that list or not.
Well, Allie and Sarah, I trust. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Fresh hot roasted peanuts, pickle bars, snacks. Oh, snacks. I mentioned beer. Lots of beer, plenty of beverages. Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Sitting here in what Jack Ham personally nicknamed the Chateau. The Sunbury Motors Studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes, 1115 Hummel's Wharf. You know, Jack has been here to the Chateau. How come you haven't, Kev?
I'm waiting for the proper moment.
Okay. Ben Kaiser joins us. Hi, Ben. Welcome. Great to have you on the show.
Thanks, Steve.
What was the feeling in the Kaiser household as that ball nestled into his hands last Saturday at the end of the game?
Oh, it was pretty crazy. And here we had a bunch of people over here at the house, and it was just an awesome game to watch, and the ending was just great.
It was great indeed, and he's the one that sealed it for them, without a doubt. His road to Penn State, tell me a little bit about that process a few years ago where a decision had to be made as to whether to maybe go someplace where he could get some money or walk on at Penn State. What eventually swung it for him?
Well, I don't think anything really swung it. I think he had his mind made up pretty early in the process. We were at a camp up at Penn State, and they definitely, they showed some interest there as far as asking him to come be a preferred walk-on. And, at that point, all he wanted to do was go there because he knew that they wanted him. And from that point forward, that's all he really wanted to do.
July 23rd, when the sanctions came out almost a year and a half ago, one of the sanctions allowed any player to leave and go anyplace else in Division I football. Was there ever a discussion between you and him as to, Dad, what do you think I should do?
No, there wasn't. I think he would have went to Penn State even if he wouldn't have been playing football, to be honest with you. I think he had that in his mind early on that he wanted an education from Penn State and wanted to stay relatively close to home. And, just having the opportunity to step on that football field just made everything sweeter.
Yeah, indeed. I have often used the Kaiser family in this when people have talked about athletes being paid in the NCAA. It's really like a minor league, they tell you. I said, well, ask the Kaiser family the value of a scholarship. What was it like the day he called you and said, you know what, I'm going on scholarship?
Well, I can remember exactly where I was at whenever he called. I was out on the road driving, and I had to stop and pull off because, a little emotional, and it was awesome. And just hearing his joy and his appreciation really, really made me feel great.
Well, he loves his family very much because I had him at quarterback club about a month ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always a standard. It's a standard thing that two things that the audience always wants to make sure that I ask. What's their major? And tell us about your family. So I asked him the standard, tell us about your family. So he talked about you, your wife, everybody, the whole thing. And he's done. And I leaned over and I said, McKenzie?
And
he says, oh, that's right, I'm married.
Yeah. I can just hear him saying that.
And they start going on about how great she is and the whole thing. And I looked over and said, it's a little late now, dude. I said, your father and I can both tell you from experience, it's too late.
Yeah.
So at Christmas, you can razz him about that a little bit.
I will.
Yeah. For you along the way as a parent, and going through the experience of all this, what's the experience from a parent's point of view been like? What's it been like on games you've traveled to? What's it been like following games on TV or a point where you have to follow in a radio, whatever it happens to be? What's the experience been like for you and your wife?
It's been great. Obviously, the home games, we sit, with the parents behind the bench, everybody's very, very nice and cordial, and we just enjoy it so much. The traveling games, we really, haven't. I drove out to Ohio State, and to be honest with you, I had a great experience out there, even though the game was, very ugly. But we met some people out there and tailgated with them, and we had an overall good experience going out there. Now, my wife didn't travel along with me. I went with three buddies, so it turned into a pretty good weekend.
His senior year is coming up. Will you change your approach next year? Because I know, for example, like, it depends on who the parents are. Like the Howells, for example, Ty Howell's parents, literally because it was his senior year, traveled every game from North Carolina. Is it possible for you to change that approach next year? Because everybody has their own circumstances.
Well, I think the schedule is a little bit easier next year to travel with us. We're west of State College, so I think the games at Rutgers and some of the games are a little bit easier for us to get to, but as far as flying to them, well, and with calf coaching, it's tough for us to take the time to drive some of these away games as well. So the approach will be a little bit different, I'm sure. Again, depends on how much he's playing, and it's hard to get to some of those games that are in Wisconsin and Minnesota and
will you consider Ireland?
We are considering it very much. The biggest problem was we weren't sure, and still aren't sure. I shouldn't say that we're not sure he's not going to be playing, but we just weren't sure about scholarship-wise because he's only, as a walk-on, it's only guaranteed for 1 year, and this,
Right.
So, that weighed a lot on his decision, as to what he was going to do. I'm pretty sure he can graduate in May. So, We just weren't sure what was going to happen. So
right, and every scholarship's a 1 year deal. Each one of them, they're not 5 year contracts. All of them are year to year basis. When he broke his hand, when did he tell you about it, or did you realize it when it happened?
Actually, I think either you or Jack Hamm told me about it. I was walking out to the parking lot, and somebody yelled, from one of the cars that was listening to it on the radio that Kaiser broke his hand. And I thought, well, they're talking about somebody. They must be mistaken, because I just watched him finish the game, and, I didn't see anything happen at all. So didn't think I thought you guys were wrong. And then actually when he came walking out at the locker room and he had the semi-cast on his hand, and that's basically when he told us about it. That's the first I knew about it.
Ben, what? Would I steer you wrong, Ben? Would I steer you wrong?
I know.
Jack and I are about as conservative gets when it comes to stuff like that. So if we say it, it probably is. Hey, what's it been like? What's it been like over the years with Kath as the field hockey coach?
Oh well, I just love what she does with the the girls on her team. She's more than a hockey coach. She's great mentor, you know, and you know, it's been great lately, I should say, because you know, the kids aren't little, and you know, I'm not having to take them places all the time or whatever, you know what I mean? It's just
yes,
it's been a lot easier the older we get.
Will you be at the banquet a week from Sunday?
You know what? I don't know.
Okay. Well, if you are, I'd be more than happy to see you and talk even a little bit more. So if it works out.
You know what? I really want to come up to one of those Thursday shows that you have up at Damon's. It sounds like you guys have a blast up there.
We do.
I said we were coming up every Wednesday. I said we're going up tomorrow, and it just didn't work out this year. So, but next year for sure, I'm going to make it up to one of those.
Look forward to having you very, very much. It'll be a lot of fun. Ben, thanks a lot for the time you gave us today, carving out a little bit of your day to be with us. I really appreciate that. And needless to say, think the world of your son.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Ben Kaiser with us. We'll come back, wrap it up on the Friday Football Festival in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Ready for a quality pre-owned vehicle? Well, get them before they go to auction at Sunbury Motors. Go to sunburymotors.com and click on pre-auction blowout.
Like a 2011 Ford Explorer Limited, only 12,000 miles, $34,999. 2010 Lincoln MKX, just one owner, $24,955. 2012 Kia Optima LX comes with a Carfax buyback guarantee, just $16,399. 2012 Hyundai Sonata, accident-free, fully serviced, just $13,796. And a like-new 2012 Ford Focus SC, lowest price promise, just $16,961. Call 570-286-7746.
All come with a Carfax report and our lowest price promise. Pre-auction blowout.
See the full inventory and schedule a test drive and see what your trade is worth, too, at sunburymotors.com.
At the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at our dealership, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
Little Mannheim, baby. Mannheim Steamroller is going to be at the Bryce Jordan Center on December 13th.
That's a show I wouldn't mind seeing.
Yeah. That's December 13th here. Yeah. That's going to be next Friday night.
Speaking of holiday musical, you know, song used in holiday musical decorations, somebody used the Penn State fight song and a few other blue band songs in a blue and white Christmas display. And if you haven't seen it yet, go to Steve Jones Show on Facebook. We have a link to the video there, so check that out.
It's pretty wild.
It is.
Pretty wild. I mean, no doubt about that. Our congratulations, by the way, to Caitlin Strickler, who's our ticket winner to go see Penn State and Marshall tomorrow. 4 o'clock, and Caitlin, road should be pretty good by then. Tonight they're talking about 5 inches of snow here tonight, believe it or not, much more than what you're getting in the valley.
Yeah, I was going to say, make sure you stress the fact that around here it's just 1 to 3.
1 to 3 here in the valley, but of course this signal stretches out all over the place. They're talking about 5 inches in State College tonight. There right now, that snowblower I bought, it's one of the best investments I made.
That's right.
Yeah, right, baby. Bring it on. I'm ready.
We only got a dusting. I don't care. I'm bringing it out anyway.
Show a little power. I was talking earlier about the fact Temple dropped 7 sports. Robert Morris dropped 7 sports. And it's not just men's sports are being dropped. It's across the board. Men, women, whatever. Field hockey got dropped and so forth.
Yeah, Temple, as a matter of fact, they cut 2 women's sports, softball and rowing, 5 men's sports, baseball, crew, gymnastics, indoor track and field, and outdoor track. Robert Morris, they dropped tennis on both sides, men's indoor, outdoor track, cross country, and on the women's side, besides tennis, golf, and field hockey.
The bottom line is, you look at Robert Morris is in the Northeast Conference. Okay, so there's just no TV money or radio money to speak of. Temple has a little bit of radio money, not much. In fact, they might even have to buy their way onto the station in Philadelphia. Okay? And from the American Conference, I mean, Temple had to find a landing spot. And, of course, they were in the Mid-American for a while and, you know, the Big East. And then the Big East broke apart and they ended up in the American. You're just not going to get the TV money to make a difference. Why do you think Maryland, you know, ends up going to the Big Ten? And why do you think Rutgers couldn't rush fast enough to get to the Big Ten? I mean, Maryland dropped seven sports. And they actually may bring a sport or two back because of Big Ten presence. The difference is that in football and in men's basketball, and again, I hate talking about the economics, but there's a certain reality as to why you see things happen. Why have you seen a shift in conferences over time? It comes down to television revenue and radio revenue and stadium revenue. Football probably makes between $25 and $30 million here. The latest numbers on men's basketball is from June 30th of this year, the end of the fiscal year, Penn State men's basketball made $5.2 million last year. You're saying, oh, I mean, how can that be? Because of the radio and TV money and the revenue sharing. You're saying revenue sharing? All right, here's revenue sharing. In the Big Ten, if you top out and draw a really great attendance, you take $65,000 and you throw it into the pool. If you have a low attendance, you take $27,000, you throw it into the pool, and then all that money's pooled and everybody gets it, they divide it by 12. In football, for a high attendance, it's $1 million per high attendance. If you have a mediocre or low attendance, the number is $650,000. Again, they throw it all into the pool and it gets, you know, spread out 12 ways from the pool money. All the bowl money is pooled. NCAA basketball revenue. Penn State made the tournament in 2011. They get units and gets paid out over 6 years. So Penn State's done, has at least made a contribution to the pool over a 6 year period. It doesn't happen in any other sport. Wrestling fans, you have an awesome sport. You have a great event coming up in the Jordan Center on Sunday. Sold out. So I know what the argument's going to be. They sell out Rec Hall every time, and they do, and justifiably, and they sold out the Jordan Center. So, Kevin, what's the natural question?
How come wrestling isn't making tons of money?
And the reason wrestling is losing money, despite all of this, is because the tickets are at a very reasonable price, which is fabulous. And even on, take Sunday, for example, you know, tickets are at a reasonable price. But do you know what the difference between Rec Hall and the Jordan Center is? You have to pay rent to get the Jordan Center. You have to rent it out.
Well, and there's obviously a seat difference, too.
Yeah, no, I'm saying, though, but there's no rent in Rec Hall. Athletics owns the building.
I was thinking reverse. I was just thinking from a seat standpoint, but yeah.
Right. There's no rent in Rec Hall. Athletics owns the building. Housing and Food Services owns the Jordan Center. Wrestling, like men's and women's basketball, has to pay rent to use it. And, you know, with all the travel and everything else, there's no television contract. There's no radio contract that makes up for this. So the sellouts are great at keeping the deficit to a minimum, but it's the deficit still runs right around seven figures.
Steve,
I know it's hard for people to accept and understand that, but it's just a reality. It's a reality I know.
You talk about, though, no television contract. The Big Ten runs a few matches. I don't know how many anymore. More than they used to, I'll put it that way.
But
there's
fewer.
Is it really fewer? See, it fewer, seems to me, yeah. I actually see more wrestling on the Big Ten Network. Maybe I'm just looking at the right time.
First 2 years, it was Friday night was wrestling night.
Well, then that answers the question on why there's a television money issue there, because they're not running as many.
I mean, the money that they bring is for football primarily and also men's basketball. That's just what it is. And advertisers gravitate toward those two sports. I'm just explaining the reality. I'm not explaining, you know, women's volleyball here is tremendous. And you know what? It's really entertaining. Wrestling here is tremendous, and it's really entertaining. I can go across the board in a lot of sports. Field hockey, tremendous here. Very entertaining to watch. Men's, women's soccer, baseball, softball, all, you know, I enjoy going to everything around here. I enjoy watching everything around here. Men's and women's lacrosse, incredible. And they're made possible by the money that's brought in primarily by football and secondary by men's basketball. And Kevin knows the numbers on the Learfield contract. They told him that. It's not a small number. That's for radio and corporate partners and things like that. Economics aren't fun, but it explains why certain things are the way they are. And none of the numbers I quoted you are to put down any sport at all. I'm just explaining the reality of it. I mean, women's basketball at most schools is about a $2 to $3.5 million a year deficit, including UConn, which used to turn a profit in women's basketball, but no longer does. But there's no way they're going to drop that, nor would I ever want that to happen.